a little vocal exercises we did before we would do a play or something.
Sometimes I start recording when you don't know it, like right now.
Oh, so fantastic.
You better hope there's enough life jackets on that cruise tonight.
Yeah, we're planning our song. We're going to be doing that Titanic number.
Oh, yes.
And hopefully it will not be like the Titanic.
Yeah.
And you are talking about our awesome cruise tonight, which is the culminating event of ISA.
Correct.
So let's just go around, introduce ourselves, and then we'll ask you some questions about what ICEP is and what you do, and then we'll break down some of the conference. So let's start with my co-host, Sarah Barnard-Flory.
Hi, Risto. Thanks for having me.
University of South Florida, which is in
Tampa.
Not the south
not
of Florida,
totally south.
In the middle.
It's kind of middle.
Fiona Chambers from Ireland, from the south of Ireland, the very, 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 very south of Ireland, which is a tiny island in Western Europe.
And El Presidente.
Yes, El Presidente.
Ah, yes.
Mark Clues from Belgium.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm working at the University of Liège. Then I'm representing the University of Liège and representing the institutional members of ISEP.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you?
Risto Martinen, George Mason University. I went to my first ISEP in 2014 as a graduate student. I cashed in all of my frequent flyer miles, and I flew from New York to Auckland for free.
Oh.
I stayed on my friend's wrestling coach's dad's couch for free for 5 days.
Oh my God, that's such a cool, yeah, that was very
cool. Awesome trip.
Yeah.
And then I went to Edinburgh last year.
Sure.
I got the Young Scholar Award
really
there,
nice.
Which was awesome. So this is my third ISEP. Yeah.
Very good.
And my first one was 2004, Thessaloniki in Greece. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. That was my first time meeting you, Mark. And it was just such fun. And the welcome was palpable. Mm-hmm. And you figured quite quickly the type of network that was there in every country. And the wish to kind of help people who are kind of, well, young-ish scholars. Because I was, I'd say, what age was I at that point? Probably mid-30s, you know, so I came to kind of study a bit later. So it was really, really cool. Yeah, nice.
You know, my first ISEP conference was in Madrid.
Yeah.
And it was in 87.
Wow.
Then you can see. And since that time, I attended almost to all conferences.
Mm-hmm.
But
Will you say the title of ISEP in French? Because I will slaughter it.
Yes, it's Association Internationale des Écoles Supérieures d'Éducation Physique. And you know why the name of ISEP is in French?
No.
Because the association was created in 62, and during that time, international association and were speaking French, and the French was the international language, and it changed little by little, and French was replaced little by little by English, and the association was created in Paris. And then, yes, that's the reason the name of of the ISEP is coming from a project. At the time, universities were separated. No internet, very few, no cellular, no WhatsApp, and no communication. And finally, they wanted to create a network between institutions proposing physical education programs. That was the initial topic. And little by little, at the beginning they exchanged information about what they were proposing to their students. And little by little, research arrived and became the main aspect of the association. But since the beginning, I believe that the ISEP spirit was the friendship and making relation. And I believe that this spirit still exists today.
I definitely agree. Yeah. This is one of my favorite conferences to attend because it's just you just meet so many people and make so many connections. And it's great.
It's great. But at the moment, we're very conscious that we need to be an agile organization. So in other words, we're doing some transformational change in terms of the organization at the moment. So we've done some quite interesting things, and we're trying to really gauge a sense of what the members are thinking about what they would like ISF to be. And we've made steps with that. So we had a survey, and we basically designed the survey, a group of us, alongside a gentleman called Trevor Vaugh, and we came up with some really interesting questions to put to the membership. And once we had gathered that, we had a design thinking workshop here at this conference. So all of the board worked really hard and had great fun trying to figure out where we needed to go on the basis of what the members said. And we were probably taken aback a little by some of the things they said, but that's fine, because we need to respond. They talked about the idea of having leadership opportunities across all of the continuum of their careers, chances for you know, being mentored, you know, various interesting things like this. They also thought that we actually are quite middle class and quite a homogenous group in terms of skin colour as well as other diversity issues. And we wanted to make sure that the organisation, or the members rather, are saying that they want the organisation to be more diverse, and that the leadership should represent that also. And the last piece was, and we do think we do a good job of this, the quality research. For some members, they said they wondered how things were thematized, you know, at various conferences and the quality, etc. So we just need to make sure and augment that.
Yeah.
So these were our three strategic directions, which is really, really interesting for us.
Yeah. And one important thing is that you mentioned you came to a conference, and you taught this also. And when you are attending to a conference, I believe that you would like to come back, because there are specific atmosphere. It's serious and high quality, and on the same time, very friendly. And it's a very nice combination of both qualities. And I believe that one of the first goal of ISF is to propose and to continue to propose very good quality event, scientific event. And you know, we have 3 to 4 different levels of events. The smallest is the symposium. It's just like the one we will organize in Liège next February. It's 1 day on a topic, and generally it's like a pre-conference organized with a partnership, a partner organization institution. And the second level is the specialist seminar. It's 2 to 3 days, focusing on one specific topic with one goal at the end, is publishing statement, ISF statements, in order to provide direction about a topic.
Can you give an example of one of those specialist seminars?
Yes, of course. The last one was on assessment, authentic assessment, and it was in Eindhoven, Netherlands, last October. Yeah. And Lars presented a project, a provisional project of statements. And of course, these statements are commented and augmented in order to be shared on the website. And in bracket, we have just launched a new website.
Oh, yes.
And it's interesting, because we want to continue to answer to the members' interest.
Yeah.
Then we have, after the specialist seminar, we have the international conference. We try to have one international conference each year. And we try to organize these even everywhere in the world, if possible. And every 4 years, we have our World Congresses. Yes. And that's the difference between international conference and the World Congress, is only that we have the General Assembly with the elections of the board, and we have also a special keynote, the Kajigal lecture. And it's the difference between the international conference like here and the one you attended to in Edinburgh last year.
Yes.
That's the difference. And we try to have at least one even each year.
We're also looking at different ways to do this. So we see those, as Mark is describing, as really interesting ways at the moment that we're doing things. We're thinking about, and this is not defined as, you know, this is definitely happening, but we're thinking about doing things like pay-per-view in terms of what's happening in our next conferences. So opportunities for people around the world to maybe pay a small amount of money to engage in what's going on. So creating a global research classroom where people can come and they can, you know, face-to-face, but equally you start to stretch it out a bit and to try and increase our reach across the world, because there's huge populations that we don't currently represent that we want to certainly attract and find out what's going on there in their countries, etc. So there's some interesting things that are part of this strategy development that we're running through at the minute.
That sounds fantastic.
And those would be like a video conference in, so you could be in France and when the conference is in Hong Kong, you can't fly there, but you can come in and then chat or engage or something like that.
You can be doing like a Twitter feed and we can harvest the tweets and we can respond to their questions. So you could actually have almost satellite mini conference groups all over the world, all logging in and all being part of it. Yeah. So when the discussions come in and you're having your session, you can have, as part of the discussion, a much richer one saying, what do our colleagues in India think of that, or Malaysia or wherever?
Yeah.
So that could be kind of interesting, and we're going to test it at a future conference. We were discussing it yesterday to see whether it's a runner, because we don't know. But we don't want it to be transmission, like just one way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We want to engage.
Yep.
So I know there's a bidding process for getting the sites, and they come out every now and then and asking, but is there a method to, I want to be in this part of the country or this part of the world for this, and then we haven't been to this continent for a while, we should really try to go there. So how does that?
We have a rubric that guides our decisions. So it's something where we're looking at the quality of the scientific team that are putting it together. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the feasibility of what they're planning. We look at things like the added value to ICEP. So at the moment, we are not really in South America. That would be one area that we're very, you know, concerned about. And we're trying to figure how we do that. So it is strategic in terms of where we go. And the optics of where we are sends a signal as to what we value. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
But we equally, back to what Mark said, we don't want to lose quality in terms of what we're doing. So it still needs to have the elements that we always have, mm-hmm. so they can trust what we're doing. But we actually mentor host countries in the process. We want them to be successful in their bid,
mm-hmm.
you know. But and the in terms of the structure of it, we like it to be multi-institutional if possible. We like it to have connection to grassroots organizations in that country. It needs to be very authentic, or it doesn't make sense for ISF, for the quality.
At the moment, we are suffering for congresses in Latin America,
mm-hmm.
in Africa,
mm-hmm.
and of course in the former East countries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then, for example, we have very few people coming from Russia, Ukraine, and so on.
Yeah.
And it could be really interesting to go in these countries, mm-hmm. because they have also research there.
Yeah.
We went in Timișoara in Romania in 2017, and it was interesting, but it was difficult to keep the contact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that we're exploring, because we feel very much when people are early career researchers, that their native language is something that they may become very comfortable. They can speak in their native language to get their confidence up. So we're thinking about having translators, or maybe having a Spanish stream or whatever to help, or Chinese or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And to try and help them to, because it is very daunting actually for some scholars. And if that was offered, it means our delegates, because of translation,
absolutely.
Can get what's going on,
yeah.
but then the scholar can feel, okay, I can do my poster, or I can, you know, so to try, we're exploring that also. So there are many conversation points at the moment, mm-hmm. to make this a bit more inclusive, yeah?
Well, I have to, just hearing all of these ideas and thoughts and conversations that the board is having is really reflective of, I think, what a great organization this is, and that you're not stagnant that you are willing to change and work with the membership to offer the best that you can. And I think that's outstanding, because I'm not sure all organizations do that or are willing to. Yeah.
But I believe it's important, because sport pedagogy everywhere needs to be supported, because that field of research is in competition with other fields. And I believe that in many countries, physical education, but not only, because sport coaching mm-hmm. or pedagogy in leisure, they need to be supported, because they are facing concurrence. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us as an international association to show that we are there to support them and to give them as much opportunities, as many possibilities as possible to grow and to follow us. Yeah.
And I think what you said about language of being this kind of, it's tough to overcome it. And I think even when we do a review of research in in different fields, I don't know what happened in Germany if they don't publish in English. But it's not to say that Germany doesn't do great research. Like, this is the only place really that I see this international scope, because they are taking huge courage to come up and speak in a non-native language about really high quality research. And I'm always impressed when I see somebody just nail the timing. They're like, you have 18 minutes, they hit it right on. They're, you can see that they practice so much. Whereas, a native language speaker that just is typing is using a quarter of the time to present the same thing.
Correct.
But it's really important to, and I saw some interesting things. One of the sessions was on body image and young girls and how they did an intervention to try to change. And it was really, really similar to a master's thesis that one of my students did. And now that we're working on a project together, and they use the same instruments, they use same methodology. I'm sitting there going, I've never even heard of you.
Because that's the point.
Because that, that piece was not published in English. It was a part of a dissertation thing. Yep. But this is a place where I can see.
Yeah.
And Germany is very similar in cultural, to a lot of different European countries.
It's the same in each cultural part of the world.
Absolutely.
And it's in French, in the Netherlands, in Spanish, in Spain, in Portugal. Yeah. Maybe one country is a little bit different. It's Brazil, because Brazil is quite a continent, and they are able to work within the country, and they don't need people from outside, and they have a very high level of research in Portuguese, and again, very few people in the English native nations don't know what happened in the other countries. And it's a little critique that we who are not speaking English as a native language, it's always the same, because it's more difficult for us to communicate and to publish.
Absolutely.
And then it means that sometimes it could be interesting that native English speakers would be obliged to present or publish in another language.
That would be really interesting. But I think there's, just leading on from what you're saying, there's huge opportunity in an organization like this to do longitudinal studies in multiple countries on a topic of interest or on topics of interest, and that's something we haven't looked at yet. So there's an awful lot of opportunity here if we were to be clever about that. I see the way that we have constructed these three strategic directions with multiple generations of researchers in them. You'll see them this afternoon when we launch the proposed groupings. I see opportunities for things like that to be looked at. Is there one small experiment that each working group might do that could push the organisation forward? Nothing too crazy, nice and steady. It's like always under promise and overachieve. It's the old mantra, and it will actually, we do it, we can hit it if we do that. And in Hong Kong then to be a bit excited about what we've achieved. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I just think we're at a really interesting moment with a huge number of young scholars
mm-hmm.
who are members, and all of them asking to help.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? Mm-hmm. How can we push this forward? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's a very exciting moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Hong Kong.
Yes.
So Hong Kong is the next one.
Correct.
2020.
Yep.
And can you share a little bit about the plan of what the next upcoming conferences are? If people
yep.
were to listen to this and
yep.
think, oh, I want to put a proposal together.
Yeah.
When about does the call come out typically?
Yeah.
And kind
sure.
of
sure.
Like that?
Then the
you
next
go.
One, the really next one will be symposium in Liège in February.
Yeah.
Then the international conference will be in June 2020 in
yeah.
Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And then in June 2021, it will be Banff in Alberta,
mm-hmm.
Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And after that,
we will announce
we will,
today.
It's a new,
it's, a surprise.
It's an announcement, but it will not be published before the
that's
opening.
True. That's
okay?
true.
And then it will be in Gold Coast, Australia. And it will be also in June.
Yes.
End of June. Yes.
Yeah.
And after that, we
Which will be
didn't
perfect weather in
yeah.
Australia.
Yeah. Correct,
that
Amanda,
just
for
exactly.
Irish skin.
Yes.
Indeed.
And
yes.
After that, the locations are not yet decided.
Yeah.
We will work on it, and it will be decided next June.
Yeah. So the call typically comes out November, December. We encourage those who are applying to host a conference or a congress that they would follow the rubric. There are certain things we're looking for. The major one being, or three, feasibility, this high quality scientific team running it, and then this added value bit. That's the major thing. What value are you adding to the organization?
And is it on the website?
That should be on the website, our new website. The new website, Cassandra. I have to speak about Cassandra Iannucci, who is the brains behind the operation. She is our amazing administrator who is working off the side of her desk on the work for ICEP in terms of keeping everything running.
Mm-hmm.
So Cassandra has everything, where it should be, basically.
Wow.
So yes is the answer. It's on the website.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So and then when people decide to put in a proposal.
Yep.
They'll put in a proposal in November, December,
yeah.
and then
maybe later this
yeah,
time because
yeah, we move it around, yeah.
we'll have the meeting in Liège,
mm-hmm.
and it will be an opportunity to speak about this and
mm-hmm.
then,
yeah.
And usually it's not a person, it's more a group.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was talking about the individual, like if I want to propose
on paper.
Like a paper or something like that.
Okay, as an abstract?
Yeah, as an abstract.
Apologies, we've given you a whole different set of information.
No, okay.
And
that
information was on if you want to bid
for a conference. Yeah, exactly.
Going
okay.
forward,
this is the
yeah.
big macro stuff. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
on a micro level for the abstracts, typically the abstracts are probably 5 to 6 months before the actual conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we give such lead-in time is to allow the scientific committee to have a look at them and then to make a judgment on, because we have this quality filter about what we want to come in and
mm-hmm.
present at the conferences. So there's quite an amount of time to prepare and get ready,
mm-hmm.
similar to other organizations
yeah.
in that respect.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I will say that for those who are listening and are in that young scholar
yep.
range, which is the first 3 years,
yep.
the
yep.
first 3 years,
yep.
yeah,
yep.
in your position, that is when you apply for the young scholar
yes.
when you put in that abstract.
Yes. yes.
That was my mistake year one.
Yeah.
I went
when you were actually
a
young scholar.
I got accepted
yeah.
and then I looked for the Young Scholar Award and realized that I'd
yeah.
missed the deadline by like 3 months. So
it's
that is a lesson learned
well,
to share to others.
I think there's another issue, and this is something we're looking at as well, as communication with our members. Because sometimes those deadlines can be missed.
Mm.
We have an Instagram account, we have Twitter, we have various mechanisms, Facebook, to get messages out. But we're conscious that we need to do a little bit more legwork on that. Yeah, so you don't miss it.
And for communication, we have also the blogs.
Yeah, we've really
oh,
nice.
Yeah, something
oh,
interesting.
Wonderful.
And then it means that Anybody can share information. You write a blog, and the blog is analyzed and published, and it's on the website. And every 4 weeks, three or four weeks, Brian McCulloch sent an email to our mailing list in order to say, okay, we have new blogs on that and that, and people can go there and check.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to communicate with the member and non-members, because we have a...
And job postings are on there too.
This is something the members asked for in our survey. They said they wanted to see them there as well. Now, I see a design piece around how we communicate, because that works for one generation. Like, we're a multi-generation organization.
Mm-hmm.
So Instagram for some, it's a whole raft of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We see the blogs as really nice. And there is a quality filter on those also.
Mm-hmm.
We would encourage you guys to get something out on this podcast series, because it's very innovative.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is highly innovative, what you're doing, so we'd like it out there. But I'd like you guys, because I could be old enough to be your mother, I'd like you guys to show me and tell me, and us, what this should look like to reach you, that if you're missing things, why is that?
Ah.
You know, because I think we need a team to help us with that too.
Yeah, and I think on my part, it was just overwhelming first year inexperience, not going through the proper channels,
mm-hmm.
and you know, as you learn those mistakes and miss out on things that are like, oh man, I really like need to get my stuff together, and and so, but I think the Twitter account has been, at least for me, has been amazing.
Good.
People sharing here, then going to that ICEP Twitter account, seeing, oh, so-and-so's presenting, I didn't see it on the schedule, or it slipped mine, you know.
I actually created my Twitter account last year in Edinburgh with Risto, like, because I wasn't on.
Yeah, you'd miss loads. I mean, it's one channel that works for us.
Absolutely. So it's been incredible. It's been
incredible.
This is
our Twitter anniversary.
It is our Twitter anniversary.
That's
yes.
so sweet, guys. That's so sweet.
Yeah, we both start. He's much more active than I am on that. But it's been very helpful. There's just so much. Like, absolutely.
Can I turn the tables and ask you guys about the idea of mentoring? Mm-hmm. And what would you like that to be? So if you're somebody who's like nervous about starting off, and how do I get to this conference, and et cetera, what are the kind of mentoring things you would think are important from this association that would help young scholars to get there? What would help?
So I will say that I feel like in Steve Silverman, I have a really good mentor who comes here and goes to ARA, and he's kind of like led by example and shown how to do it.
Cool.
I do know that there are more people in different countries, different universities that don't necessarily have that same person. And I think even, like, I had the confidence enough to ask Paul Wright to sit down with me for 30 minutes over coffee.
Good.
But I'm an outgoing person, and I don't feel uncomfortable asking that.
Yeah.
But I think pairing people from, you know, the same country or different countries or a person who writes in an English-speaking country, a native language, for another person, and just setting up, like, coffee. Like, today's coffee date, 20 minutes that you have.
It could be a nice idea.
And you
like
partner
it.
Them on.
Yeah.
So just have that connection.
And like that.
And offering, you know, when people register for the conference, you know, I don't want to say that we have to check off boxes about who we are, but, you know, would you consider yourself? Are you a doctoral student? Are you an early career person? Are you a mid-career person?
Yeah.
Are you in administration? And and who do you want to be matched with potentially, too? You know, it's just to make those connections and maybe build that into the program where it's, you know,
it's
two or
really
three
important.
Of those.
I like that.
Very good idea,
because
One of the goals of this conference is to gather people and to improve, increase exchanges.
Yeah.
It could be a very nice opportunity to organize such meetings.
Absolutely.
Informal
dating meetings.
Speed
dating.
And
then marriages. Yeah. Anything could come out of it.
You never know.
There's all
you
these win-win
know.
Situations.
Absolutely.
That is. But we hold that thought, because
I
know you're going to be helping, both of you are helping on our working groups.
Yes.
So please do not forget that idea.
No, absolutely not.
That would really help.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing I wanted
with
to
communication,
ask.
Communication, for
example. Other question. Something that came up for us on Tuesday when we were doing the design around the data that came in, and that was around the idea of talent scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Finding people that don't have that connection, the Steve Silverman connection or whoever.
Yeah.
And we were trying to figure how we would manage that. So basically unearthing really cool talent out there that are already maybe starting a doctorate that we don't know about that should be here. What are your thoughts on that?
So I can only speak from my experiences in the States. And I think when you're starting out, there's so many conferences to attend. And my mentor did not attend ISEP. I worked with Nate McCautry at Wayne State University. I think he did attend once or twice, but I don't want to say it wasn't pushed. It just, I didn't really know about it. But then I had heard about it. But we're sort of driven into this silo of go to these two conferences because this is where the people that you need to know are going to be. And I think, and that was years ago. I can't even think about how many years ago that was now. But I think our world is changing. And I think that with all of the social media, I think we've seen that this is, we don't have to stay on one path to be successful, especially in the States. So now I've forgotten the question.
About searching for talent.
So I think when, we always try to invite other people. Risto and I have both been pretty active with AERA, PE SIG in AERA, and we are always trying to invite folks to come and present there.
Great. So that's the kind of thing.
I think the social media accounts definitely help, and I think you all do a very good job of this as an organization that there's a place, this is kind of what I always go back to, there's a place at the table for everyone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We don't all have to do one type of research to belong in a certain organization.
Totally.
I'm not a member of a qualitative research organization. I'm not a member of a quantitative I'm a part of a research organization.
Great.
So I think that's helpful. And when we see things or read things, just spreading the gospel, if I can use an analogy.
And I would even say that people listening to this, to put it out on Twitter at ISEP, AIESEP, and just go on there and send some thoughts about these ideas. And I think, when people just pause it right now and just give your, tweet out. And I think that's a way to kind of get a wider audience. And I know that, we've talked about the scientific rigor, the community, and one of the things that I love about ISEP that I should probably not say on my podcast, but it's always in really fun locations, and I really enjoy that they have social hours.
Yes.
And
this is Mark. That's all Mark's fault.
This is
really
fun. Like at the end of every conference, there's a big, huge party. People are dancing and drinking wine and hanging out.
We are all physical educators.
Correct.
We
not
are coming from the field.
Just thought I mentioned
and
that.
Even if you are doing high quality research in your lab, in your office and somewhere else, you remain physical educators and you need to move. You need to communicate with others. Mm-hmm. And it's important to have such moments in the Congress. Yeah. To celebrate this kind of joy of movement and communication by movement, and it's an international language. You don't speak very fluent English, but when you are on the floor, you can share. you saw during the opening ceremony this Congress, this conference. It was so fantastic to see everybody.
Yeah.
Standing and moving together.
Absolutely.
And smiling, and it was a very good start to give a very positive atmosphere and behavior.
Absolutely.
And then I believe also that I only once I saw some aggression between two people during conference and so on. In other association, other congresses, so it's usual to see people fighting verbally because they were not agreeing on a topic or a principle. Here, never. People have, in French we say, de la retenue. They can say something kindly. Without aggressing, without killing the people in France.
Yeah. Yeah. It's respectful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a respectful and welcoming and open
always positive, and it's very important.
That should be the experience. Yeah. Well, that's why people come back, we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We think this is why they do it.
And then, of course, mainly for the young people, they are here. Some of them, they are like this because they have to present their first communication, international communication in English. Yeah. They are freezing, and then sometimes people in the room, they are there, like, come on, be confident, you are good, you are good. And it's encouraging, it's something very important, because it comes from all people, and then, okay, the names are known, and then, come on, you are able to do it, and it's good. And I remember that once a colleague was a little bit aggressive towards a young student, and I said, "Oh, cool. He is here to learn. Then motivate him, encourage him. Instead of he will not come back.
Absolutely.
And it's important. And he will stop to do research in sport
you can
pedagogy.
Put people up.
We are here to encourage research on sport pedagogy."
Yeah.
We are here to make the field growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And if you need to ask a difficult question of a young scholar, it does not have to happen in the room.
Yes.
You can be very sensitive to that.
Yeah.
So obviously, as people get more confident, they're able to deal and field any question. But just to be careful around that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's not about the person asking the question. It should be about the person presenting.
Yeah.
So that's our philosophy. Yeah.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit specifically about this conference. So, we had the TPSR Alliance before.
Yeah.
We had the social justice session before.
Yeah.
We had the early career session before. I'm missing
early child.
Early childhood.
Yeah. Mackahy leadership.
Yeah. So there was a lot of pre-conference stuff. So some of the delegates have been here since Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The conference started Wednesday. Yeah. We started with a reception and social and opening ceremony.
Sure.
Then Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And most of the formatting with the registration.
Yeah.
The benefit of coming to ICEP, in my opinion too, is the cost is a little bit higher than your normal conference, but you get three meals, or two meals, and a happy hour almost every single week by somebody, and then you have
coffee breaks.
Yeah.
And so it's not this marathon of you have to hit every single session back to back to back to back to back. It's you have breakfast, you socialize, you come in, you see a great keynote.
Yeah.
You have a little walking break, then there's a session, then there's a coffee break.
Yeah.
Then there's a session, then there's a lunch break.
Yeah.
And so I feel like at ARA sometimes I am overwhelmed.
Yes.
I love it, but at a certain point, I'm just like, when am I supposed to have a lunch break?
Because
they don't build it in because it's 15,000 people coming to that conference.
Yes.
But, I think for the PE SIG, that's very manageable at ARA.
Yeah, of course.
So, can you cover just a little bit about the keynote speakers and kind of break down what those were?
Yeah. So, we did a range of different keynotes this year, and just in terms of the process, the keynotes are a crucial element in terms of the atmosphere we're trying to create, the message you're trying to create from the conference. So, we had a variety of keynotes. From Carla, who's very, kind of a more younger scholar or early career scholar, all the way through to kind of people who are working community around the hip hop initiatives, etc. So I think it's quite, we do struggle with these when we're in conference design mode with the hosts to make sure that's right. We're even having a conference or a conversation rather about what we're going to do for next year. So there's a few, I suppose, key elements that we try and get across. We're trying to get across the fact that we have these pre-conference elements that are going on leading into these really fine keynotes that actually lead off every morning to set, it's a really nice way to do things because it sets your mind thinking as you're going into the other sessions, etc. So it's a lovely design feature of what we do here. And then the other element that links to that, because as you know, all keynotes are linked to the themes of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
We also then have parallel sessions that also feed into those themes. So we try and reinforce whatever the themes are for the conference. So building bridges was the theme for this particular conference. So all of those are kind of glued together. Mm-hmm. So Mark, do you want to add to
yeah.
that?
When we think about who will become a keynote, we are trying to find people who have something to explain and to share. It's sometimes top-level researchers, but it's sometimes also people more involved in practical aspects. Mm-hmm. Because, again, doing links,
yeah.
bridges between
yeah.
theory, practice, research, it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not only publishing and having impact factors, it's also changing the society.
Yeah.
And it's important to make links.
Yeah.
And an aspect that we are that we consider as important for the keynotes is also the gender
balance the diversity,
and
yeah.
Also the diversity of cultural background.
Mm-hmm.
And we try, because of course there are many native English people speakers, and we try to avoid to have too many people
mm-hmm.
from the Anglo-Saxon culture
mm-hmm.
and to open to all the culture. It's important. Sometimes difficult,
yeah.
but for the next conference, for example, the Chinese people, Asian people, people are important for us.
They need to be central.
And,
yeah,
and
do,
then, of course, because if we are going, for example, in South yeah. America, in Latin America, it's important to go there, not because we are ISF.
Right.
Then we are partner with the country that organized the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would like that the partner bring something to the participant,
mm-hmm.
as well as we could bring something or propose
yeah.
something to the country. It's an exchange, and it's important for us. And then trying to find keynotes, it's not always so easy.
Yeah.
Because the reflex, the easiest way, I know this, and
mm-hmm.
okay, it's a little circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to go out that circle
yeah.
and maybe to invite people they are not used
yeah.
in our field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's important to go outside to learn something.
Absolutely. And this is something we're also thinking about, that the keynotes may not necessarily always be from us, from our field.
Sure.
To nudge us a bit further.
Yeah.
Because it is fabulous that the majority will always be, but maybe we think about who could really, really push us to think a bit differently about education. Who might that be? And that could be somebody, another inspirational person to add to the pot. So we're not just talking to ourselves about what we do, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about Katie Fitzpatrick. She really makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really excellent scholar conceptually, critical theorist, really interesting work. So you need that,
mm-hmm.
but then you also need somebody coming in, because you said something really interesting there, Mark. It is about changing society. And the focus for me, if I think about empathy, is the children in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So you have got to have everything we're doing in ISF to change what that looks like for the kids in the classroom. So who will help us with that?
For me, ISF is Carrefour, right? In
yeah.
French, Carrefour.
Yeah. Yeah. Crossroads, yeah.
And then You have Carrefour between people from different culture.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Carrefour between people working or involved in different contexts, school,
yeah.
sports, leisure, maybe adapted education and so on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's important to share, because
yeah.
what you are doing, the research you are doing in physical education, it's important to translate it in
yeah.
coaching.
Yes.
And what you are doing a very good research in leisure. And then it could be interesting for
mm-hmm.
people in the schools, because we know, all of us knows that many physical education teachers are teaching only for schools.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And rarely, in order to make their students doing something outside the school. And the transfer between the school and the real life is so important. Then it means that I am a teacher, then I should know what happened in sport clubs, in
yeah.
leisure, recreation
yeah.
center, and so on, to make a link and
yeah.
to prepare my
yeah.
students' pupils.
Yes, yes.
It's important to know what the other people.
Yeah.
And the last Carrefour is, for me, important, and it will be the case particularly in Jæger,
yeah.
It will be the carrefour between practitioner and the researchers, because sometimes researchers are working with subjects, with teachers, with coaches and so on, and these subjects' voices are totally forgotten. And then in Liège, there will be a symposium. The practitioners speak to researchers, and the researchers will be in the seats, and the practitioner will present things. And it's another CAFOR important for us.
I thank you for teaching me that word.
I just understood the grocery store.
CAFOR in France. Well done.
That's the same thing.
It's a win-win situation.
My mind has been blown.
Yeah.
Carrefour.
The other interesting thing politically and contextually in the world at the moment, physical education, there's a light shining on it by UNESCO, by the World Health Organization, and they're all looking to physical education as a space where we can really change behaviours, and they're now getting that education is the answer to doing that, rather than what has happened before. So ISEP is at a really nice moment where, back to what you said earlier, the keynotes, the message we send out, the type of research that's going on here. There's one thing I think missing from what we do, and that's this statement about what have we achieved at this conference? What's the big bang message we have to give at the end? If we were to go on, we're on a podcast now, what is the thing that struck us about what's happening? And you had a very interesting observation, Mark, earlier about the context in which the research seems to be. More in, you said elementary school is what you're spotting. There seems to be shifts and changes around the focus point of research, and you see that shifting at each conference, which is not just a contextual thing. It's where research starts to being pulled and dragged. So it's that interests me, but I would be very interested in trying to figure out how, it's not that you would try and morph it or anything weird like that, but are there things where we would be quite strong in saying, this is our take home. This is what we have to say. We spent 5 days here, and at the end of that, this is what our synthesis of our message.
Well, that's a research study right there. Take up the abstracts, code them for primary, secondary, how many students, what was the research about.
Correct.
Yeah. And what, then what, go what, back a few
one
years.
One young researcher here did such a study.
Yeah.
She analyzed, it's a woman from Taiwan, a student from Taiwan, and she analyzed the abstract proposed during the last three conference.
Super.
And it was interesting.
To
identify who, where, what. And then it's interesting to see the evolution.
Well, I'm very happy that somebody did that, because I started to think, did I just propose something that I need to do? So I'm very happy to hear that it's already been done.
It's actually a good thing. But in terms of this conference, and the theme is building bridges. And my sense is that there's a lot of high quality research going on. With the building of bridges, I see some building of bridges in terms of the Carrefour, but I think we could do more of it. In terms of having more kind of connected research going on, as I said, longitudinal, etc., the bigger kind of impact stuff going on. I think a lot going on in small pockets, really exciting and innovative research. So it's trying to make those connections so that we actually do impact the lives of children in classrooms. So there's a few things we could do, and this is what we're going to play with for the next while, I think. Yeah.
Awesome.
See how we go. Yeah.
So, any other concluding thoughts? Any other information?
Any last shout-outs you feel like you need to make?
For me, I want to thank the membership for being so honest in the responses to us, to allow us to start to shape the organization. The last thing I would say is that I am so excited to see the team of people who have come forward to help us with that, and who are going to roll up their sleeves and to try and experiment. An actionable insight is how I would use it in design thinking terms, to see what we might do, how we might play in those three areas of leadership, inclusion and diversity, and quality research. So that's what we're doing for the next year. Thank you to the membership. We want more of you. We're at 230 members at the moment.
But you had how many people here?
400. So we want to see what can we do. What can we give the members? What does membership look like? What do you get for your membership? So many things we're trying to tease out at the moment.
And the membership is not expensive.
No.
You know, it's 30 euros per year.
For 1 year,
And what you get for that.
And one thing that people don't know is that there is an institutional membership.
Yeah.
And the membership could bring money in the pocket of the institution.
Yeah.
Because the membership is 175 euro for 3 years for an institution. Mm. And each institution can send three different persons.
Wow.
Per year for each activity, at least 1 year, one per year, and it means if there is a discount of 30 euro, and then if you calculate it, it means that if the institution send 3 person each year, it's 90 euro per year.
Yeah.
In 3 years, it's 270 euro saved.
Yeah,
then. I don't know why more.
Yes.
That's good information to share.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do with Don.
I don't know.
I was just thinking, like, you got two, there's two of you. That's really? Pays for a start.
Yes,
yeah. I don't know why no more institution take this membership fee for 3 years because it's really interesting.
One thing, at least at the university I'm at, I cannot buy a 3-year membership because the way the fiscal year is set up, you can buy a membership for 1 year.
Okay.
And I've gone up to my university and said,
that's an interesting point.
It's cheaper for me to buy 3 years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I could use other sources of funding if I had like grant funding or something to pay for it. But but that's like a nuanced thing.
But that's an interesting thing, though, if it's a barrier for people to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Any closing remarks? Any
I would like to thank you for the invitation. And finally, thanks all these people who will listen this this talk. I would like to add something, another thank to all of these people who spent time for us, and particularly to those who are organizing conferences, because you know it, I know it, and other people know it. Organizing a conference takes time, and you don't receive recognition from your institution. Usually, it's not on your CV because unfortunately, it's only impact factor papers that count.
Yeah.
But organizing such conference is so important for the field and for all researchers.
Absolutely.
That I would like to thank them, all of them, for their efforts and involvement. And then I would like to thank also all my colleagues from the board. And I would like to finish saying that, well, we'll do everything to keep this kind of atmosphere, combining effectiveness and quality climate.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for stopping here.